Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where we highlight people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community, our nation, and around the world. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. I always end the show with the motto, be a blessing and give a blessing. What do I mean by that? Well, first of all, you can't give something you don't already have. So the goal is to first be a blessing to others in some way, however you personally define that. And then you'll be in a position to give blessings away because that's your mindset. It's part of who you are. Giving blessings in terms of time, talent, or treasure isn't just a good thing to do. It also comes with some nice bonuses, like the fact that you can be healthier and happier. It also can have a ripple effect. Research shows that if you give to a certain cause, your peers are more likely to do the same. So if giving is important to you and a legacy you'd like to pass on, a key question to ask yourself is, what specifically is important to you and why? What speaks to your heart, your mission, your goals, your values? Is it something local, national, or global? Start with defining how you want to be a blessing to others, and then determine where you want to give a blessing. According to available data, the majority of charitable donations tend to go toward local causes, with around 30% of donors contributing to charities outside their country of residence. Of the 46 economies designated by the United Nations as being the least developed, 33 are in Africa. One person in two lives in extreme poverty in sub-Saharan Africa. So perhaps a global giving is something that appeals to you, and you want to find ways to be a blessing globally. On today's show, we're going to learn about two nonprofits that are being a blessing and giving many blessings to people in need in various areas of Africa in some unique and important ways. My first guest today is Diane Studer, founder of Souls for Jesus, whose goal is to collect something we all just take for granted as we get dressed in the morning, and that's shoes, and distributes to people in need in Africa. Welcome to the show again, Diane.
Thank you so much, Jill. I am so happy to be here, and I really admire what you've been doing with the show.
Well, thank you very much. Well, tell our audience your story. When did you start Souls for Jesus, and why?
Okay, it was in the fall of 2009 that I went on my very first trip to Ethiopia, Africa, and it was on that trip that I saw the need for shoes. We were working in a really remote village where we saw so many of the children and even adults working in the fields without shoes, and that's really where it started. I really felt compelled to do something about it, so right away came back and started the organization, and the shoes just began coming from all over. So it's been 15 years.
Wow, wow. Well, you say the shoes came from all over. Where do they come from?
Yeah, it's quite amazing because we've never spent a dollar on advertising, but the shoes come from across the country. I mean, I'm talking California to Pennsylvania to down in Florida, across the nation, and a lot locally as well, from shoes that are from manufacturers that are just damaged but still in great shape, discontinued. Sometimes they're gently reused. A lot of the running stores collect shoes for us as well, where they're gently used but still have a lot of life in them.
And didn't you tell me, or what I remember from the last time you were with us, is that kids in Africa need shoes in order to go to school?
They do. You remember that correctly. It's, you know, kind of crazy that even in these remote villages, They're required to wear a school uniform, and the most difficult, costly part of that uniform is, guess what? It's the shoes. So it really is a difference between a child going to school or not, or adults being able to work or not, because it's important to know that we're going to really remote villages where the shoes, all of these countries have developed cities. That's not where these shoes are going. They're going just hours beyond the city limits to where people really don't have access to shoes.
And so, speaking of the shoes in particular, you know, I think about, I'm a shoe hog,
yeah.
And I've got lots of shoes, but you don't accept just any shoes.
Right. We always say, if you don't have a purpose for it, donate it to us. Because if it doesn't go to Africa, we donate to a lot of other places too. We want to be a good steward with every shoe that comes through our doors. So we donate a lot back locally, especially winter boots, extreme high heels. Even use flip-flops. We donate those to the women's shelters and showers. So we find a place for everything. If you don't need it, go ahead and donate it to us.
Okay, so take a look through your closets, ladies. And guys,
yeah, and
I imagine you need
absolutely
lots of men's shoes as well.
Yeah, you'd be amazed how many guys are shoe hogs, too.
I shared my secrets.
Yeah.
Okay, don't look through my closet.
Yeah.
Do you share a message with the shoes, and how do you do that?
We really do. It is part of what compels us as a team. We just want people to be able to know that they're also just seen and loved by a God who created them. So we do share a salvation message with them, just that God loves you. We don't force it. It's just a message of love. We do wash their feet as well, just to demonstrate again just God's love and that they're seen and that they matter and they're important. And honestly, it is such a privilege. I just freshen back from a trip where I took a team. We went to Benin, the west coast of Africa, and it's such a privilege to just get down on your knees and just to tell someone that God sees you, he loves you, and just to wash their feet and give them a pair of shoes. There's times that people are just in tears, just can't hold back their emotion because it's so touching for them. And the local leaders have told us they will never forget this because, first of all, people from America don't come to our village. And for you to humble yourself and just to show them love in this way, it's really powerful.
Yeah. And I imagine you guys are probably crying as well. I'd be a mess.
You've got it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. I remember you telling me a story of when things didn't go quite as planned and it felt like a failure. You want to tell that story?
Yes. Yeah. The first one that comes to mind is when I started this, I was in finance myself and total career change. Just felt like this was really something I was supposed to do. And our first shipment never made it to our partner. I mean, shipping to third world countries is challenging. And so I really thought, okay, it doesn't work. I tried it and it doesn't work. And it was one of those pivotal moments where I really felt God just telling me, all right, pick yourself up from your pity party. Mm-hmm. And I've got a strategy. I've got a plan that works. And that involved people on the ground. I love that we work with local partners who live there. They know where the need is. And so they receive our shipments. They work with their governments so that we're not charged a tax exemption when the shipment arrives there. So we have not lost a shipment since then, thank God. But there were some hardships and challenges with shipping to third world countries, for sure.
Yeah. I love the idea of you being real with us and telling us that there are challenges. And I think what God is looking for is obedience from people. You know, I talk to a lot of faith-based organizations, and some of them just say they don't know if they heard right, you know, that maybe they got a message from God, or maybe they in their prayer time that they heard that they should do something, and when they run into a challenge, they wonder if it's something they should continue to do. And I give you kudos for just really sticking with it and just willing to be obedient and just to figure out what that challenge is and overcome it. So kudos to you. Aww. Great job. Can people join you on these trips to Africa?
Definitely. Yeah. Our trips always open up in the summer and they do fit less than 2 weeks. They're full. There's only 20 spots. So
wow.
We do have a waiting list for the next one already. We usually go in May. So yeah, the next one already is definitely full with a waiting list. But I would say anybody, you can always be put on a waiting list. Reach out to our office if you're interested in that.
And how many people typically go with you
on
the team?
Yeah, so there's 20 on our team.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And it's a mix. Do you have kids going with you ever?
So we always say at least 18.
Okay.
It's interesting. This next trip, we have one mother and son and one father and daughter. Sometimes we see that, but you definitely can come just alone as long as you're 18 or older.
Oh, that's wonderful. Make it a family mission.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, when Diane was first on the show, as I said, back in 2018, they had shipped a few thousand pairs of shoes. After the break, we're going to hear how many pairs they've sent to date and to how many countries. Stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking in our next segment again with Diane Studer, founder of Souls for Jesus. So, Diane, back in 2018, when you were on the show for the first time, you had shipped a few thousand pairs of shoes, which is no small feat, obviously. No pun intended. How many pairs have you sent to date, and to how many countries?
Yeah, so I just checked this, and in the next few weeks, we will reach 890,000 pairs.
Wow.
Because now every 3 weeks, we have a shipment going out of 8,000 pairs. So half of that growth, so half that number of the 890,000, was just done in the last 5 years. I mean, we've just seen really increasing growth with those shipments, and to 31 countries. I think you asked how many countries. So yeah, to 31 countries that we continue to ship to, because we have partners that are established with their governments. They live there in each of those countries.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that's really something. And I understand it's difficult to actually get the shipments in. Like you said before the break, that was one of your
yeah.
first challenges. So how do you do it?
Yeah, it's so important. Before we release a shipment to our partners, they have to work with their government and show us like that tax exemption form. They have to show us photos of where you're going to store it. They have to tell us their plans, where they're going to go with it. So there's some hoops that they have to, you know, we fully pay for it and fund it and do the work, but they have to show us that they're, you know, what their plans are and that they're going to be ready for it. So with those things in place, we've had tremendous success. And then they of course have to send us reports and photos so that we can share those with our supporters that we're, if it wasn't making an impact, I would not give my life to this work. I mean, it's happening and it's really making a huge impact.
And it's important too, I think, as you said, for those people that are sending the shoes, because we sometimes talk about proof of performance or POP. You know, how do you know that what you're doing works?
So important.
Well, you've got so many ways that you can show this is indeed working.
We have brand new videos. If you want to see them, just go to our website, soulsforjesus.org. We just have brand new videos on there where you can see the work happening on the ground. Yeah, and going to remote places. For example, on the last trip that we went, I'll never forget this moment of standing on the shore and watching our boxes of shoes go in hand-carved canoes to this island village, because our pastor was like, we've got to reach this place. And so we're not just dumping them in easy places. I mean, they're really going to where the need is great, and it's really making an impact.
That's so wonderful to hear. How often do you send the shipments? And you said there were like 8,000 pairs?
Yeah. So we used to say every month, but now it's every 3 weeks we're sending a shipment from our Milwaukee warehouse. It's kind of exciting that our headquarters is right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Every 3 weeks a shipment. It's a 20-footer of roughly 8,000 pairs.
Yeah. 8,000 going out every 3 weeks.
Yeah, and then we also share each pair with a gospel booklet that's printed in their language. So we have a partner in Indiana called World Missionary Press. They print all the literature for us in those languages so that, they receive that gift as well, along with the shoes.
And they're open to it. Like you said, when you're serving them, when you are on your knees serving them, there's nothing like showing love in that regard.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you say has been the most fulfilling part of this journey for you?
Yeah, oh goodness, there are several things. I would really say going on these, I'm thankful that once a year I get to go with a team. We wouldn't ever have to, it's not necessary, but it just is so, I just came back from that. And it just to see what an impact it's making is just such a blessing. And then the second thing is the amazing people we've met on the journey. Incredible people. I mean, so much ministry is happening right here in Milwaukee, too. We're mostly volunteer-led. We only have 3 staff. So even today, we constantly have groups coming in, businesses, sports teams, not people that anybody. You don't have to be of faith. So many people come and serve, and it's amazing the impact that it's making. The conversations as we show the videos, even so many college groups, even high school students, they need volunteer hours. It's popular for businesses to come and serve, and it's amazing the impact that's being made right here as well. So that's been really, impacting to me too.
And we as an organization at EIG have come in a number of times.
Have.
Yeah,
I love
it really is
come
a great.
To pack shoes and it's nice because it's only 2 hours. It's very organized. You watch a short training video. Everyone leaves happy.
Yeah.
You just pack some shoes and you're like, okay. And we always say you're the last ones to touch those shoes. So it's just kind of a neat feeling that because of the few hours that you put in, that many people are going to be impacted by the shoes you packed.
You know, it just, it it's really embracing both the people that volunteer and you leading the organization, this idea of how to be a blessing give a blessing. Yes. I mean, it's really wonderful. Yeah. Well, what would you say are your greatest needs as an organization? Because you're doing great work, but like any nonprofit, you have some needs out there, and we like to share that with our listening audience.
Yeah. The awesome thing is two of our needs don't even cost any money. We're right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and like I just said, we're volunteer-led, so we'd love it if you can come and serve just for 2 hours. Most Saturday mornings we have those, 9 to 11. Sometimes weeknights you can email our office or call us to set up your own date if you'd like. Volunteering is a great way to be a blessing. And then, of course, the shoes. And then lastly, the funds to send them. Sometimes when you're collecting an item, people forget that, okay, yep, also, you know, the funding. Those three things are our greatest need.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory serves me correctly, which it doesn't always, isn't it like $1 a pair of shoes or something?
Exactly, always just give people, we don't demand it. You can bring shoes without any money, but we do throw out that challenge of, hey, would you consider for every pair you donate, donating in $1 to help get them there?
Okay.
Yep, your memory serves you correctly.
Wow, surprise myself sometimes. And I think it's important to say that another thing you can do that doesn't cost a dime is pray for your organization.
Definitely.
Pray for Souls for Jesus, for the impact they're making, for the safety of the people that are going to Africa.
So
doesn't cost a dime, and it's probably the best thing that anybody can do, right?
Yep.
What about upcoming events? What do you have going on throughout the year?
Yeah, sure. Twice a year, we have two events that we really, really love to see people get involved in. In the summer, we have a fun family walk where we also have like food trucks. It's usually like third Saturday in June, I think, roughly. And then our fundraiser in the fall, the second Saturday in November, we have a luncheon at the Brookfield Conference Center that we show our recent videos and give updates. And that's always an exciting time to bring everyone together. So that's our big fundraiser that helps support the ministry.
Okay, wonderful. Well, if somebody listening wants to get involved or wants to help to advance your mission and support your programs, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, the website is a great touch point. It's SOLES, soulsforjesus.org. That's a great way to connect with us. Email info@soulsforjesus.org. And whatever ideas you have, even if it's not something I shared, I love how God speaks to people and gives them creativity. If you have an idea or some way you'd love to give back, let's talk. Please reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay. And once again, the website?
Yeah. Soulsforjesus.org. SOLES.FORJesus.org.
All right. Awesome. Well, Diane Studer, thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Jill.
And
you're
sharing,
the best.
Oh, thank you. Sharing with our listeners your passion, your why, and how you are being a blessing and giving a blessing. So thank you for being here today.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
You are welcome. Well, we know that we certainly have a great number of needs right here in our local communities and nation, but there are people in need all over the world, and some are called to go serve those people, some in remote areas where there may be no other help available. We're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we return, we're going to learn about another organization who is being a blessing and giving a blessing by offering a unique way of fighting a very big problem in a remote area on the other side of the world. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is someone that started an organization that also has a global reach, like Souls for Jesus. But she dialed into a specific mission in a specific area and is fighting a very big problem in a very unique way. Welcome to the show today, Carrie Reichartz from Mercy's Light.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Carrie, why don't you start by sharing your personal story with us so we can get a better understanding of why you do what you do?
Absolutely. So I'm actually a practicing lawyer. I was a practicing lawyer. And after going on a mission trip to Africa with my church, I came back wondering what I was doing. After many years of going back and forth to Africa and really assessing the needs, just talking to anyone that would talk to me, lawyers, government officials, women in the village, psychologists, just anybody and everybody, just really seeing what the needs were there and really seeing that early pregnancy was a real huge issue there that was not being addressed by anyone in the area that we work. And also rape and sexual abuse, sex trafficking, all of those kind of things. And so looking at my own personal life history of rape and sexual abuse, as well as early pregnancy, it was like, okay, this we can do this. We can figure out what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're going to do it. And that's what brought me to Mercy's Light.
And I think oftentimes when someone goes through a specific challenge or adversity in their life, that it opens up their eyes and their heart ultimately to where they want to make a difference, you know. When you were in Africa, you met a very special friend while you were there named Bethany. Can you tell us about her?
Absolutely. So as I was really assessing the needs there in Africa, one of the things that they asked me to do was speak at a small women's group. And so I went there. They wanted me to speak on being an ambassador for Christ. It was very early in my speaking career. I had about three lines that I was prepared with. And it was going to be translated, so there's all that extra time. And so I start off saying, you know, you're meant to be, you know, you're called to be an ambassador for Christ. And everyone starts laughing. And I was like, what are you laughing at?
Oh.
And again, this is like my speaking debut, so I'm a little self-conscious. And so I said, I'm not moving on until you guys tell me why you're laughing. And I literally sat there for what felt like 20 minutes. And then slowly, a woman barely raised her hand, like chest level, and that's who I call Bethany. And she said, no one will listen to me. I'm a woman.
Oh.
And that
was interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. And so is that what launched Mercy's Light?
I would say that was one part of it, for sure. And that's more of what we're doing now. I think the beginning of the journey was more my personal, like that redemption and that. And I had to go through my own healing journey. This is not about healing. Like, do not go out and start a nonprofit thinking you're going to get your own emotional healing, because that is not where it comes from. But once you have that personal healing, that idea of wanting to share that with others. So I think that's where it started. But where we're at now and the bigger mission and vision that we have is really about Bethany. It's really about the idea that these women need a voice. They need a place to be able to do something, whatever it is God's called them to do, whatever that looks like.
And so the organization started in 2016, and you have a mission to end poverty for women and kids in a particular place that you visited.
Yes, yes, in Vapingo, Kenya. So Vapingo is on the coast of Kenya. It is about 45 minutes north of Mombasa, which is the second biggest city in Kenya. And it is the coastal area of Kenya is considered unreached by the gospel. And so that is why we work in that area. Now, Kenya as a country as a whole is 70 to 80% Christian. But the area that we work in was settled under Sharia law when Kenya got its independence in the 1960s. And so because of that, there's a lot of cultural backwardness that you don't see in the rest of Kenya. The Supreme Court justice of their Supreme Court is a woman in Kenya. So women have very many opportunities within Kenya, but they do not on the coast. On the coast, they can't even sit in family meetings. They're kicked out of the house until the meeting is over.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So, okay, so you have this mission to end poverty for women and kids in Vapingo. How do you go about doing that?
Absolutely. So we go about doing that by building and sustaining Christian leaders. That's the big thing that we do. And we do that through small business. So the key out of poverty, though education is awesome and necessary, if we're going to go through the normal, like kindergarten through, you know, college and wherever from there, that's going to take a long time. And it's going to take a lot of money. These women don't have time and they don't have money. And so, and I don't have the money to send them through all of that training either. But I can train them to be able to start a business, and they can do that for their own children, and they can do it on their own. It's really, really a big deal to us that this is not about dependence. This is about 3 years of helping them to get to that place where they can do it themselves.
And so discipleship and business development, small business development would be some ways that you do this. And then tell us about how the Kenyans work on the projects.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we've got a few different projects that we have, and it is all based, our Kenyans are the ones that run all of our programs. And so what does that look like? They are doing the front lines of our project. My husband and I are alongside for really that Christian leadership development, that helping them through those things, that looking on the outside, looking in, you know, what do they call it? 10,000 foot view. So when we're in the middle of a struggle, whatever that might be, maybe a program's not running the way we want it to, or whatever that might look like. And when you're on the inside dealing with that day to day, it's a little hard to see where the problems might be. And so we kind of come in and say, well, what about this and what about that? And of course, financial oversight as well. Yeah.
And so you say all Kenyans work the front lines of your projects. What do you mean by that?
So it's not any U.S. or even, you know, people from Uganda or, you know, whatever. Like, it is all domestic people that are working with domestic people. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So we're actually going to take a quick break. But after we return, we're going to learn more about some of the exciting programs that Mercy's Light is offering to the ladies in Vipingo. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and I'm talking with Carrie Reichertz from Mercy's Light. So, Carrie, you have some exciting programs that you offer the ladies in Vipingo. Why don't you tell us about those?
Absolutely. So our flagship program was actually for teen moms, and it's called Mercy's Light Maternity Home, and it's a residential facility for girls that have been kicked out of their homes and left to the streets. Some of them come because their parents sex trafficked them. Some of them come because of, you know, a mistake at school with a boy, and some of our girls actually come because in our community that we work in, at 12 years old, many of the moms were sold into marriage, and so our moms then are sold. At 12 years old.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So that's where that program started. So that is a three-year program as well. We'll talk more about the years of that program as we get into other programs. But that's our flagship program, and that's where we started, was that idea of pregnancy crisis and really helping girls through that sexual trauma. As we started that program, we began to see just more and more needs of the women. The women would come, and they would do little things for our girls, but we would see them suffering greatly. Literacy, not having literacy, never setting foot in a school, just really, really struggling. We talked a little bit about what life is like for a woman there. Multiple marriages, they're usually the second or third wife. Their kid's not going to school because they are the second or third wife, so hopefully the first wife is, their kids are going to school, but theirs aren't. Abuse, infidelity, I could go on and on. It's just not a pretty situation for women in Vipingo. We're not able to solve all those problems, but we can find some teachers to teach some literacy. So that's where this all started, that idea of discipleship and literacy. So we started a second program, which is we call LIFT, which is Living in Faith Together. And it's discipleship through, it's actually leadership. So they start where I shared, right? They're starting from nothing, but using discipleship, we're going to lead them into leadership. And so we're starting that with literacy. That's year one, is literacy. Like I said, many of them have never set foot in a school. They don't even know the number one. If I wrote it on a piece of paper, they would not know what that number was. Like this, if I wrote their name for them, they wouldn't know it was their name. And so it's a really, really, like, it's hard to imagine, because even a two-year-old knows if I write their name, right? Because the B, right? My name is whatever, and, you know, I know that first letter. And so that's where we're starting with these ladies. But I will also say that these ladies are excelling. I don't really want to test the ladies because I'm not offering anymore. So I was like, we don't need to test. Like, this is all we're offering. So let's just go with that. But our teachers are like, no, we're going to test. So, okay. They're actually testing at A, B, and C level. And that is very, I mean, for women that are older, learning, that's just insane. It's crazy good. It is so awesome to see them really growing. And of course, the discipleship component as well. So they come, they get a little snack because many of our women don't eat, but maybe once every other day. And so that snack is critical. It's not a full meal, which is what I wish it was, but we can't afford that. And so we've got at least a little bit of a snack. So they come, they do discipleship, get their snack, and then they go into literacy. So there's an hour of discipleship and an hour of literacy. That was the first year of the program. That is the first year of the program. The second year now, we've added in business skills. So we have people, we've partnered with Hand to Hand East Africa, and they bring in various business skills. So number one, it's your books, right? Keeping track of your numbers, where you should sell, your market, you know, is there a market here for that? Even how to make yogurt, how to do this, you know, different business skills that do not involve machinery, because we do not have a actual physical location. We just meet at the local school in the little church chapel that's right there. And so we don't have a place for, you know, for the different machinery that might be needed for some of these occupations. But there are other ones that we do are able to do. And so that's what we teach them. And then year three, we actually are in discussions with Notre Dame to actually help us get these women started in small business. I'm going to share a little bit later where we would actually do that, because like I said, we don't have a location, but we have something coming up there. So I'll get back to that one. That's just a beautiful program because the community between these women that wasn't there before. We just had a woman whose husband passed away unexpectedly. She has six small kids, you know, just a really devastating story. But all the women came together to head over to her place and just really encourage her. And she lives fairly far away. But all the women came together and went over there to really just pour into her. And so it's just, you can see a difference in these women from when we started this program till now. The difference is Christ, for sure. But it's also just that idea of hope. And of course, that's hope through Christ, but it's also hope through the literacy, and it's also hope through just that community and living in faith together. We've already started a business. So through Mercy's Light, this is a third program I'm sharing about. This is Malele Organics. And so we started this business in 2021 when we found out that these women were out there really struggling in these marriages, in abusive marriages, all of those kind of things. It was like, what can we do to at least make a small difference? And so we went out and we scoured the area to hire six women to start Malele Organics. And it started with virgin coconut oil. And so we have coconuts, we're on the coast, and so we have coconuts. We're looking for readily available items from the coast to then make them into things they can sell, and then of course make money, send their kids to school, eat, you know, do all the things that they need to do. And so we started with the coconut. We partnered with a local school there, as a college there, agricultural college, and they helped us with the training and all of that and helped us get started. And now that we've moved it over to Vapingo, where we are located, and they are producing the 100% virgin coconut oil. It's actually sold out almost all the time.
Oh. That's wonderful.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a horrible drought in Africa. And so we were not able to get coconuts at a rate that we could actually make money. So the point of this is to make money. So we could not continue that program at that time. And so we had someone travel to Kenya with us, and she wanted to make mango jam with our girls. And so as that happened, mangoes are locally available, again, a tropical fruit, right? And so they made jam. And as they did that, it was like, well, why can't we be making that and actually selling it? Because mangoes are available and they're right there and there's a ton of them. And so we started adding to that line the mango jam. So now we do the coconut oil. We can get some coconuts. But when we can't, we've got that jam as the backup and we continue on that journey. And so that is Malele Organics. And then we have Mercy's Light Souvenir Shop. And so that is, we have a, let me go on to the Upendo Fabrics. That we'll do that one next. So that's our fourth program, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes. Upendo Fabrics is, so when our girls leave our Mercy's Light maternity home, the residential program, right, they need to go back to live in the community because they're not living with us forever. And they need to be able to support themselves and their babies. And so the idea is that they start a small business. Well, they're 18 and 19, and they've never worked for anyone else. And it's not easy to start a small business when you're that age and you've got a young child and all the things that go with that. And so we were trying that. We were trying a lot of different things, and we weren't really happy with what was happening in our transition program. We were getting them into factories, but they would have to work 6-7 days a week, and it just was not really applying the things that we've taught them spiritually because they couldn't. There were just not ways to do that. So we started Upendo Fabrics, which is an apprenticeship program for our tailoring students. So we teach this same 3-year program within our house as well, and it's literacy and emotional and spiritual healing, then vocational skills, and then business skills. And so a lot of our girls really specialized in tailoring. Tailoring is a huge thing in Kenya. And so that was where we were at. And so our Mercy's Light souvenir shop, our travelers come, and we have a lot of different travelers that come to see that shop. And the girls make bags, and they make a lot of different kinds of things that go into that. They actually make gala dresses. They make anything and everything you can imagine. And so we sell all that and more, anything you would want as in a souvenir shop upstairs at Mercy's Light. And so that's what the souvenir shop is. And the Upendo Fabrics, they actually also sell locally. So we're in a lot of different gift shops. We make uniforms for schools. We make uniforms for a lot of different things. And so that's the Upendo Fabrics. So then our goal is to start a small container park. So as these women start to get to the point of starting their own businesses, we need somewhere to do that. They need somewhere to launch that business at the very least. And as that business starts to get up and running, then they can maybe go buy a kiosk or get something closer to the side of the road, or, you know, expand that business in whatever way that looks. But to get started, we need somewhere to start. And so my husband and I, and through our gala last year, we were able to purchase 2 1/4-acre plots of property. And we are going to start a container park there. So the shipping containers that you see around, that we will get those outfitted for the women to start whatever businesses they might want to start in those. That would be vetted and approved through a Kenyan board, that kind of thing. And so that's where these women will start those businesses, is through that container park.
Wow. You got a lot of really great things going on there. In terms of programs, what about, what are some of your other visions for the future?
Absolutely. So our big vision of the future really right now is to be able to do this container park. We need servant leaders. We need leaders. We need to be able to raise up leaders. We need that spiritual development, the emotional healing and the processing, how to build good teams, how to be really good in that dynamic. Rukia is a great example of that for us. Rukia is one of our employees, and she's just been through that kind of emotional journey, whatever her emotions are coming from, but really leading her into the point of being a really great servant leader for our girls within our maternity home. And we want to see that same thing happen for others just like that. And so how are we going to do this? We need to get a house that we can actually raise up and do that staff development that is needed to be done. And we need that locally. Right now we do that way in Mombasa, but that is really difficult for our staff to get into Mombasa. And so we need a place that we can do that locally. And so that's what the Bethany House is about. Number one, building leaders, right? Doing staff development and all of those kind of things, silent retreats, all of those kind of things, but also sustaining those leaders. And that really is where the silent retreats come in, right? We need to really process our emotions in the moment. We need to reconnect with the Lord to really figure out where those next steps are. And so we actually are just a few thousand dollars away from our land, purchasing the land. I'm sure by the time this airs, that will be completed.
Oh, that's exciting.
So that's super exciting. That was about $24,000. So that was super, super exciting. And then the next step to that is, in Kenya, you need security. You're on your own for your security. You don't just call the police and they come. That's not how it works in Kenya. So you need to have a security wall. You need to have, you know, a well, obviously, the infrastructure. And so that's going to cost us probably around $20,000 to do those things. There's a couple different parts to that. And so we would love for people to join us in that process. The well is about $12,000. I'm sorry. No, the well is about $5,000. The wall is about $12,000. And then for solar, because the electricity is out a lot in Vipingo, we really need solar because the sun is out a lot as well. And so that's really going to help us, number one, maintain those costs and really keep that daily cost down, because we're using solar, not electricity. And then also, we would love for people to join us by coming to Kenya. That's the other way that we'll sustain this house, is by travelers coming and staying in Kenya. And we do full couple trips for people as far as the different things. Like, we plan the whole thing out for you and we walk you through it. And it's a really amazing, it's actually a 6-month process with meetings once a month. And then of course you come to Kenya, it's 10 or 12 days in Kenya. And it's a really, really awesome process to be able to see God at work right there firsthand. It's amazing.
I bet it is. It's wonderful to give monetary gifts, for sure. But when you can be the boots on the ground, doing God's work, being the hands and feet of Jesus, as we say. First of all, the people receiving that is just wonderful. But you think about how that fills you as well, to continue doing the work that you're doing. So if someone's listening and they want to help either with a well or the security wall or some other infrastructure, what is the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. Going to mercieslight.org. That's mercieslight.org. You can find information on all of that, traveling, getting in contact with us, donating. All of those things are there, and more about the work that we do.
Okay. Well, thank you. My goodness. Carrie Reichertz from Mercy's Light. Thank you for being here, sharing your passion, your mission, your vision, and your stories. It was wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you, Jill.
You're welcome. So much great info and inspo today, right? From our two guests. So thank you again to Carrie Reichertz from Mercy's Light and Diane Struder from Souls for Jesus. Thank you for the love and the care that you provide to people in need on the other side of the world. So thank you again for sharing your stories. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to Souls for Jesus or Mercy's Light. And if you know of a great organization doing great work that you think would be a great guest for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. Tune in next Sunday morning at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about people and organizations who are making a difference in the lives of others in our community and around the world. You can tune in on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And if you miss a show, you can visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to well over 400 different nonprofits share their mission, their vision, their purpose, and their passion for what they do. You can also listen on demand at Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, or Apple Podcast. If you have a goal to lead a life of significance in some way or another, think about the gifts and the talents that you have and how you can put them to good use in an effort to make a difference for someone, either locally, nationally, or even globally, like Diane and Carrie are doing. They've both shared many ways that they themselves are making a difference, as well as ideas for how you can come alongside them and help them make that difference, whether that's by donating, volunteering, or advocating for their respective organization. I'm sure anything you do would be appreciated. So make it a goal to find a way to be a blessing and give a blessing, because the impact could be greater than you will ever know. Thank you for listening today, and have a great day.